Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
I've entitled the message, When God Gives You a Dream, It Comes with a Shovel, and I need some volunteers. I'm going to need four volunteers, but I need some very specific volunteers. I need someone under the age of 11 who is not afraid to volunteer this morning. Can I see a hand of someone under the age of 11? All right, come on up. Come on up. Right there. Hi. Look this direction and tell everybody your name.
My name's
Addison. Addison is here. I've got someone under the age of 11. I need someone who is a teenager who is not afraid to come up and help me with my illustration. I need a teenager this morning. I'm looking for one. I am not seeing a whole lot of hands, teenagers. Is that a hand? No? Oh, come on. I'm going to call on Zach if you don't... Well, I was hoping somebody would have saved you, Zach. I need someone between the ages of 20 and 35. Volunteer. Okay? All right? 20 and 35. One last person. I need somebody over the age of 40. 40. Who's going to come up and help me? So you're pointing at somebody, but I don't see their hand. I'm waiting for a hand. Somebody over the age of 40. Before I call on Clayton LaVorne. Was there a hand over there? John? Did you actually raise your hand, John? And I missed it? Your wife was up, so she wants to come up. Now, John, you may come up and join us. That's fine. Okay? In the early part of this message, I want to illustrate not something specifically from a Bible verse, but again, the Bible talks about us learning His ways, the Word and the ways of God, and this is one of the vision statements here. I said we're learning the Word and the ways of God, because sometimes the Bible is very specific, but sometimes it's about learning His ways. And so this beginning part of the message before we get to God's Word is about God's ways. So when God gives a dream, people, this is Addison, this is Zach, this is
Lauren.
Thank you, Lauren, because I couldn't get it fast enough. Thank you. And this is John. I want you to imagine that God places something upon your heart, something He wants you guys, each one of you, to do individually for the kingdom of God. Well, when God gives you a dream, it's going to come with a shovel. So, Addison, whatever that dream that God might give you, He's also going to give you a shovel. The shovel means that we have a part to do. Now, Lauren, if God gives you a dream, He's going to give you a shovel. Notice these shovels are a little different, because sometimes what we have to do is a little different. Each person has a difference. When God gives you a dream, sometimes He gives you, I know He does, He gives you a shovel. John's got the little itsy bitsy shovel. Poor Zach. Look, Zach, it's empty. What do you think that might mean, Zach? God doesn't love you? Your shovel's coming up on the screen. There's your shovel, Zach. Here's the thing. When God gives you a dream, He gives you a shovel. By the way, yours has keys. But I'm not giving you my keys. I need to get them back. Each one of us, God is going to ask to do something. When God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. And God is the one who places something on your heart, and God is the one who chooses what your shovel is like. Now, Zach, you're going to get a lot done, all right? However, if you just sit there and get on your phone like you're on most of the time and don't actually do any digging, it's possible John, if John's going to take his little shovel and dig, is going to actually accomplish more for God than Zach, although Zach has the bigger shovel. Remember, to the one who is given much, much will be required. So be careful, folks. You may say, I want that one. All right. Are you going to get behind it? Are you going to use it? But I want to tell you something about that shovel. Addison, that shovel can dig a really, 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 you can see it back there, can dig a really, really, really deep hole. But there are some things that shovel can't do that only your shovel can do. Because we need someone to have a very specific hole, a very interesting hole. You're working up against something that is like very precious. And you do something like that, it's going to knock it over. So there are times that this shovel is actually better than that shovel. Or you can see it back there. You can see it back there well, okay. Your shovel is really good. But there are times if you're planting flowers, you don't plant flowers with your shovel. I mean, I could just see him. You know, he's got a little petunia bush, and he gets it over there, and he drops it in the hole, then he goes back with this thing, and no, you can't plant petunias with that. God is the one, and here this is the biggest thing I want to illustrate here. God is the one who chooses your shovel, your dream and your shovel. And you might have a dream that someone else has. It might be that all four of you have the dream to landscape someone's house. But Zach is going to do this work, and you're going to do a work, and you're going to do a work, and you're going to do the final work, but you're going to get the house landscaped. See, sometimes we have a dream to advance the kingdom of God through this church. I do. I hope you've caught that vision. But you're going to be given a shovel that works for you. Lori has a shovel that puts her in preschool a whole lot. In the toddler church area. And she's doing a phenomenal job. But I happen to have talked to Carla Mills. And Carla Mills says, Pastor Rick, if you put me there more than 1 week at a time, I'm going to kill myself. No, she said that. She said, I can't. Because she is not good with little kids. Does that mean Carla is somehow deficient in the things of God? Carla got a different shovel. Carla may have this shovel. I'll tell you what Carla's good at. She helps us with our finances and with our books. Oh, my goodness. She is fantastic. She and Christy get together, and they look at how the money has been spent and where it's coming in, and it has so helped us as a leadership team to evaluate. You're not good in preschool, but you're great with money. And then Rob, man, you put Rob in preschool, he'll just smash those kids. But man, you stick him back there. My foot gets it going. Because we're all called to the same vision. Now, when God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. Here's something that does happen. And then I'm going to get into how God does this. Okay? Some of you don't want the shovel. You don't want to work. Or you don't want to work very hard. Thank you for helping with my illustration, sir.
No charge.
No charge. Thank you. Oh, God, I want a marriage that is so firm and settled in you. Oh, God. And then you don't do anything. Oh, God, I want to reach my neighbors for Jesus. But you don't do anything. When God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. Different types of shovels. Zach, you got the coolest shovel. Not really. I happen to really like your shovel. At my house, I use a spade probably more than anything else. Helps me to cut out the grass and helps me to do a lot of things. And this one I dig. Oh, there's another shovel I didn't bring, but there's another part to this message that we'll have. It's called a scoop shovel. Anybody know what a scoop shovel is used for? Scooping. It's used on the farm to scoop out. You would know what a scoop shovel is used for at Blue Tassel Farm. Is it, you have horses. Do you use a scoop shovel to scoop out horses' stalls? Yeah.
You mean manure?
Yeah, that stuff. When God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. Hey, thank our volunteers this morning as I now want to share from God's Word a principle. So get your Bibles. Get your bulletin. I want to give you the first 2 points of my message, and then we're going to go into God's Word because I want to share with you a fantastic story from the Old Testament that illustrates this very, very, very well. Get your bulletin out. When God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. Here it is at the top. This is one of our main points. The shovel is for you to dig the ditch that God will then fill with rainwater. The shovel is for you to dig the ditch that God will then fill with rainwater. God desires to pour His blessing, His Spirit, His power, illustrated by rainwater, into that which you have dug. Now, we could say what you have built, but the illustration today is just about digging a ditch. Back in January, I heard this statement. I don't even remember who made it. I just wrote it down very quickly, sent it to myself in an email. I send myself emails. Does anybody else send themselves emails? Am I the only weird one? Thank you. I thought I was the only weird one who sent myself emails so I could remember to do things. So I sent this in an email, and the email was dated January 9th. So I've had this concept on my heart for 6 months now, waiting till I could share it, and this is the morning to share it. But when God gives you a dream, He gives it with a shovel. The shovel is for you to dig the ditch that God will then fill with rainwater. But what if you haven't dug the ditch? There's no place for God to fill it. What if you've only dug, you know, Zach, who's got the backhoe, he gets one little scoop. So he doesn't have a ditch, he's got just a hole. And then he gets his device out, and some girl sends him a picture, and then he's texting back and forth, and all of a sudden Zach isn't, you know, doing much. Okay, John is there with his little shovel, making all the necessary holes for the flowers. God is able to fill, because John has been very faithful. Zach, you've just got one hole. You could have had a massive ditch. See, when God gives you a dream, He gives it with a shovel. And the shovel is for you to dig the ditch that God will then fill with rainwater. Here's the second thing, and then we're going to get to God's Word. God expects us to work and prepare for the rain. God expects us to work and prepare for the rain. I want to tell you something about this church before we get into the story from the Old Testament. This church has been working and preparing for the rain for many, many, many years. You as a congregation, even before I got here, had taken the initiative to develop this property, to build this sanctuary, to make room so that God could fill it. You have been doing the work. We have remodeled our nursery area. We've remodeled our preschool area. We've remodeled our toddler area. We've remodeled our office area so that we could accommodate these other things. We now have a brand new youth room that's just getting ready to be decorated. We have been doing all of these things. We have been doing the work, and we are preparing for the rain, and we're asking God for the rain. We've been staffing all of these areas with our volunteers. We've actually been staffing with regular staff, an associate pastor whom I am interviewing some this week to come on board. We have a children's director. Do you know, and I'll just be real just transparent with you, the amount of staff that this church has, as far as an office manager, a senior pastor, an associate youth pastor, and a children's director, is far more than for a church of our size. We don't need all this staff. We have never needed all this staff. So why do we have all this staff? Because several years ago, I felt the Holy Spirit say, staff this church for the next level church that's coming. See, I'm working, we're working, the staff is working, preparing for the rain. Well, Pastor, what if the rain doesn't come? Then I've missed it. But I can't wait for the rain to come to dig the ditch, or I don't capture what God is doing. Make sense? So we took a step of faith. This congregation took a step of faith when it built the sanctuary this size. This congregation took a step of faith when it developed this much property. Because they believed that God was going to send the rain. So, let's talk about how God sends things by looking at an Old Testament story. And I want you to take your Bible, and I want you to go to, for some of you, it may be a well-known story. For others, maybe you have never really heard this story before, or you've just maybe heard it mentioned. And this is 2 Kings chapter 4. The book of 1 and 2 Kings deal with the early days of the nation of Israel and the kings, but really they focus on a couple of prophets, the prophet Elijah and the prophet Elisha. Elisha came after Elijah, and this story deals with the prophet Elisha. So if you would take a Bible in whatever format that you have, let us read this story from the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you some things about how you work and prepare for the rain. That's what we're going to talk about this week. How do you work and prepare for the rain? Yes, I talked about digging a ditch, but it's not just as easy as putting one scoop into the ground. So let's hear how God filled some things for a woman. Chapter 4, verse 1. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out. So this woman has lost her husband. Her husband is one of the prophets. They would actually have what they called a school of prophets. Elisha was the head prophet, and they all would tend to live together or live in proximity. These were the men who would receive words from God in those days, Elisha being the one who seemed to have the most anointing. Many miracles through Elisha, including this one. Actually, Elisha did nothing except tell the lady how to receive, but it's attributed to him. So one day, the widow of a member of the group of the prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord." Meaning he was a good man. He was a godly man. He feared God. "But now a creditor has come, threatening to take my two sons as slaves." This lady's in trouble. She's going to lose her only source of income. Women were not allowed to work in those days, and so she needed her two sons to help around the house. But they're going to take them because they owe some money. "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" In one sense, he's saying, "Where's your shovel? What do you have? What do you have?" The question is, what do you have? What do I have? And she didn't think she had very much. As a matter of fact, I think she's looking at her shovel, and she's got the John Wampler shovel. Because look at what her... See if I can keep those up. Look at her response. "Nothing at all, except a flask of olive oil." She had something so small, so insignificant, she didn't even consider it. She has a John Wampler shovel. Nothing except. I don't know how big her jar of olive oil is. Maybe it would be the size of this bottle of water. Could have been a little less, could have been a little more. She didn't consider it very significant. "Nothing at all except a flask of olive oil," she replied. And Elijah said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting aside each one when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. So she took however she had capped her jar, got another jar, and she poured. It filled. She got another jar. She poured. It filled. She got another jar. She poured. It filled. Her sons kept handing her jars. Soon, every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and your sons can live on what is left over." She was given a task to do. And she did it. So let's find out, how do we prepare our ditch? How do we dig our ditch so that God would fill it? Number one this morning, here's how you dig your ditch. You have to believe. The woman believed the prophet. The woman believed the prophet. If she would have went to Elisha and he said, now go and borrow these things, and she would have come back to her sons, the guy's nuts. The guy's nuts. Would she have had the oil? Absolutely not. She had to believe. She had to believe. The Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. This is from the New King James Version. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. This woman believed that God wanted to take care of her, and how is belief shown? Belief is shown by action. If I would have given Zach the key to the backhoe, and he wouldn't have done anything with it, he really didn't believe that God was going to fill the ditch. If one of these others, Lauren, for instance, she has her shovel, and Lauren is starting to dig with her shovel, preparing something, and Lauren just got the shovel, dug one little bit, and then decided to stop because it's, like on the graphic there, it's kind of rocky and it's too hard. Did she believe? If this congregation 20 years ago, who believed that God wanted to do a great work through Columbus First Assembly and reach this community and touch more people, would have said, yes, we believe God's going to do that, and as soon as he pours out 650 people, we're going to build a bigger sanctuary. But you've got to believe and you've got to act. So 20 years ago, they built so that God could fill. You have to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But here's what some people say. Well, Pastor, I don't believe. I have a hard time believing. Do you know that Jesus has an answer to that? Actually, somebody came up to Jesus and said, I have a hard time believing. I need something from God. I have a hard time believing. Look what it says in Mark's gospel. This was a man whose son needed to be touched by Jesus. And Jesus said, anything is possible if a person believes. But the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Here's what I want to say to you this morning from this passage. Don't ever be embarrassed to come to God with your unbelief asking for help. If God has given you a dream, it's going to come with a shovel. But some of you are believing and having a hard time believing. It is okay to come to God and to say, help me with my unbelief. God, if you truly want me to have this type of marriage, if you truly want me to be this type of a parent, if you want me to become a pastor or to go into ministry, help my unbelief. God will not reject you for that. Anything is possible if a person believes, and the father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. And then Jesus healed the man's son. So the first thing you have to do is believe. It's interesting that this whole concept of belief and this whole concept of how we feel about things has even been caught by the secular world. This has nothing to do with faith, but look what Henry Ford said. I just find this fascinating. If you think you can, or you think you can't, you're probably right. If you think you can, or you think you can't, you're probably right. There were things I didn't try as a young person because I didn't think I could. Found out later I probably could have, but I was afraid. And what I thought made a difference in what I tried. And that's what we're going with. You've got to believe. And if your belief is weak, then cry out to God to help you in your unbelief. Secondly, you've got to do it afraid. Number two this morning, you've got to do it afraid. God has given you a dream. God has given you a shovel. Little, regular size, massive. God has given you a shovel. You got to do it afraid. Rarely is there anything that God is going to ask us to do that is not going to stretch us to the point that there's going to be some fear or some anxiety. Now, not bad fear, but just the fear of, can I actually accomplish this? Rarely will God ever give you to do that won't cause you to be afraid. And you've got to do it afraid. I took this statement from Joyce Meyer. Years ago, I heard Joyce Meyer talking about God is asking you to do something. He's asking you to share your faith with someone. He's asking you to step out and teach a class. He's asking you to do something that you've never thought about doing, going back to school, seeking someone that you need to restore a relationship with, and you're afraid. And Joyce Meyer said this, do it afraid. If you wait until you're not afraid, you won't do it, because almost everything that God calls us to do that is of any significance and is of Him, there is going to be fear involved. You've got to do it afraid. Don't ever get into the mindset, and maybe I haven't taught you enough about this here if you think it, that until you have a full comfort, confidence, and peace in your heart, you won't step forward. That's not how God works. There will always be, especially if you're stepping out in faith. I'll just again be transparent to you. When we put on another staff member about 2 years ago, and Pastor Jack, Mr. Jack came on, when Mr. Jack and Miss Mary came on, I hired them afraid. I hired them with a sense that God was calling us to lay the foundation staff-wise for the next size church. But I hired them afraid, because what if I'm wrong? And the money is not going to continue to be there to pay them. Right now, as I'm looking at bringing another associate pastor on staff, and I'm interviewing this week, there's an anxiety within me, but I'm still following in faith that which I believe the Lord has spoken to this church, not just through me, but through previous pastors as to what He wants to do here. And to do it, it requires this staff member to be here. And so I am going to step out. But I know, because I asked you earlier, well, if you do all of this and the rain doesn't come and fill the ditch, and I'm wrong, there are some people that have been hurt by what I've missed. And I spend a great deal of time in prayer. The Lord has given me some assurances in my heart that He is going to fulfill, but I've got to do it afraid. Some of you need to step out. You've been wanting to do something, but you're anxious about it. You need to do it afraid. Make sure it's of God, but then do it afraid. Number three is this. You have to dig and keep believing. Here's what happens to many of us. We start digging. We get the excitement of this initial word from God. We get the excitement, and man, we're digging. We're digging. Thank you, Jesus. We're digging. Thank you, Jesus. We're digging. Boy, it's getting hot out here. We're digging. Thank you, Jesus. We're digging. It's now 94 degrees with a heat index of 97. We're digging. Jesus, when's the rain coming? Just keep digging. Just keep digging. Here's where belief really is tested. It's when you're digging and it's not happening yet. Pastor Tim McNamee, the staff from Blue Tassel Farm, is here. And I said, Pastor Tim, this message is for you. Because Pastor Tim and his staff has been out there digging and believing and getting the farm ready and getting rained on and getting bridges washed away and getting other things. And they're digging and believing. They're wondering, God, you send us out here to minister to children. We've had how many retreats so far? But we're believing. How many? Three? We've had, zero. This year, Pastor, just keep digging. Just keep believing. I can't believe that maybe you didn't move out to that thing called the farm from the inner city of Indianapolis. Totally at peace, no anxiety. Did you? Are you a greater man of God than I would have been? He did it afraid. He had no idea whether the financial backing was going to be there. It's still not all there yet, right? But you're still believing. And you're working, and you're digging, you and James and Jacqueline and Kathy and the kids. You have to dig, and you have to keep on believing. And here's the other thing you got to be careful about. This is where the attacks are going to come. This is where you're going to want to give up. It's going to get hot. You're going to get tired. It's going to be hard. The enemy's going to come. And here's something. Oh, folks, hear this. One of the tools the enemy is going to use at this stage is to distract you. See, that woman had to believe. She had to go out, and I'm sure there was some anxiety. Hey, can I borrow some pots? Can I borrow some jars? Sure, what do you want them for? Oh, I just need them. I'm going to be pouring some oil. Okay. Well, now that she's gone to all of her neighbors and friends and gotten as many jars as she can, everybody is talking. And do you know that the oil didn't start flowing until she started pouring after she had collected all these jars and closed the door? So now the whole neighborhood is talking about her. How do you like to be talked about for your faith? How do you like to be talked about when you're working on a project? Do you know that Noah had a dream? He had a mission? He had a vision? And every day he went out there and worked on that ark. According to the Bible, it took him over 100 years. That's a long time to dig and keep believing until you finally see God doing what he said he's going to do. How many of us would have had the tenacity, the ability to keep focused that Noah had? Abraham went to another land, another country. There's so many stories. Nehemiah in the building of the wall. You have to dig and keep believing. But here's one of the enemy's tools. Here's where I'm going. Oh, and I've already alluded to it. The enemy will distract you on something that's really good when you're digging. Now, I was teasing Zach, but Zach may have gotten a text from somebody who needed something while he's sitting on his backhoe. And so he stops for a little bit, and he texts back, and then they text again, and then they text back. Then they send him a funny cat video, and all of a sudden, Zach is watching the funny cat video, and what's happened is the enemy has got us distracted. There are some of you sitting here this morning that God got you started on something, and he got you distracted. And you stop digging. He's still wanting to pour his rain. He's still wanting you to do your work. You have to dig and keep believing. Up in Wisconsin, on the southern edge of Lake Superior in the winter, Wisconsin people do weird things, but I think Kansas people do too. But they have races. They have dog sled races. The kids have dog sled races. It's not the Iditarod or anything like that. The kids just go out and they have races. So this whole community gets together and they set Lake Superior with the snow and the ice on it. And they take little fir trees and they do the course out in the lake by attaching these fir trees to the ice. And they have a whole bunch of them. And all of the kids of the town line up with their sled. Some of the sleds are really nice. They have four or five dogs. Big kid being pulled behind. Some of them may only have a couple. Well, on this particular year, one of the sleds was one little sled with one little boy with one dog. He had one husky-type dog. And so they're all lined up, all the kids from the town, ready to go out on Lake Superior on the southern shore and run this course. Everybody looked at the little kid. They said, "I'm so glad he's trying. But we know he's probably not going to win this race." As a matter of fact, they were just glad to see him. You know, maybe they gave trophies for all the participants who knew he'd get a participant trophy. Wasn't going to get the winning trophy, but they'll give him a participant trophy. Or, you know, the most improved. Who knows? Anyhow, the race starts. And it's exactly what all the town folks said. Those older kids with the multiple dogs head out, and they are just going, and they are going around the little trees that are out there that mark out the course. And here's this little guy with his little sled and his one little dog going along. "Come on, boy. Come on, boy." And they're going, you know, kind of like the tortoise and the hare a little bit. You're thinking, is that where the story is going? Kind of. Anyhow, the number two sled is coming up behind the number one sled, and it's getting closer. And he's getting closer. Well, he gets a little too close to the lead sled, the number one sled. And the dogs on the lead sled stop and start attacking the dogs on the number two sled. And now we have a dog fight. There is a dog fight going on out there. The two drivers, the two riders, they get in each other's face. "Hey, you got too close." And now they're starting to fight. And what happens is the other sleds are coming up. And now there's a little bit of a brawl going on. And they couldn't keep their dogs from getting into the fight with the other dogs. So all of a sudden, the third and the fourth and the fifth sled, they get there. And now those dogs are involved in the fight. And the other people are involved in the fight. And there's a wrestling match going on. And there are words and everything going on. Here comes our little guy in his little sled with his one dog. He saw what was going on, and he pushed his dog over to the side, kept it far enough away. He just, "Come on, boy. Come on, boy. Come on, boy." And he goes all the way around them. And while they're out there wrestling, and they're out there yelling at each other, "This is not fair, and you're not doing this," and the dogs are pulling the dogs off of each other, this little guy makes it all the way around and wins the race. And the person that said or told this story made this statement. Boy, this is a good statement. All the thought of racing had vanished from the minds of the sledders. Now they're in this fight. Now they're in this brawl. However, the one little fellow and his dog managed to skirt the others and went on to win the race. And now look what the author says. Part of any success is refusing to become distracted. Oh, people of God, if you've been given a dream, you got to dig and you got to keep on believing. Don't get distracted because the enemy will throw things at you. He'll get you distracted. There will be things that will come into your life. There will be things that will break you down. All thought of racing had vanished from the minds of the sledders. Don't let all thoughts of your dream vanish from your mind if God has put it there. Keep on digging and keep on believing. Because when God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. Noah got up every day and had to work on the ark. It took him over 100 years to build. I'm sure there were plenty of times for him to get distracted. Nehemiah had to work on the wall. We'll take a look at Nehemiah in another week here as we revisit this theme. And he had all kinds of things come against him, all kinds of distractions that he had to fight so that he could finish the task God had given him to do. Number four, as we wind this down, you must do your part before God does his. This is one of the principles of Scripture. I talked about it when I talked about the offering. Or in the offering, where I talked about we needed to plant our seeds. You've got to do your part before God does his. One of the things that saddens me about many believers is saying, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, my finances are a mess. God, help me, my finances are a mess. God, help me, my finances are a mess. But they haven't done their part. They haven't returned the tithe. They haven't planted seeds of faith. You must do your part before God does his. Here's a very interesting verse from the book of Psalms that I just wanted to share with you this morning. Psalm 81:10. It says, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things. Open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it with good things. What if you keep your mouth closed? How's it going to get filled? Just, there's a part that we have to do. There are things that God has called each one of us to do in advancing his kingdom, fulfilling the mission, the dream, whatever it is that you have. But there's a part that you have to do before God does his. If God needed Zach, and I'm using Zach here because he had the backhoe. If God needed Zach to dig a ditch 450 feet long by 25 and a half feet wide, because that's what God needed, and this is just illustration, before he could fill it because of what God wanted to do, and Zach only did the ditch 300 feet long by 20 feet wide, God wouldn't fill it. Because that's not what God needed done for God to do what he wanted to do. I think there's some of us that start to do our part or stop doing our part or don't even start doing our part because we don't see how it's going to fit into anything. But we must do our part before God does his. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it with good things. An author that I read from time to time, John L. Mason, says this. The devil's number one tool is not an active sinner, but an inactive Christian. I looked at that and I thought about it and I thought, you know what? He's absolutely right. Active sinners do a lot of damage to their lives and to the kingdom of God, but if the devil can get a Christian to be inactive, he's actually done more to thwart the work of God. The devil's number one tool is not an active sinner, but an inactive Christian. Here's how I want to end this morning as the team comes to the platform. I want you in your heart if you're willing to say, God, give me my shovel. God, give me my shovel. Now I know some of you hope it's a backhoe. God, give me my shovel. Or here's the thing this morning that I felt the Holy Spirit say to me. It's time for you to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm going to pick my shovel back up. For some of you, your shovel that which God has called you to do has been laying on the ground for a while, for whatever reason. You got distracted, you got hurt, it was harder. Maybe you didn't even understand this concept. Remember, I'm teaching the word and the ways of God. You have to understand some of God's ways. And some of you may not have understood it, and you're saying, why am I digging this ditch? God's not doing anything. I've been working and working and working, and I don't see anything. And so you laid the shovel down. But God hasn't told you to lay it down. And your response this morning is not, God, give me my shovel. It's, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to go and pick my shovel back up. You're going to go back to what it was that God has spoken to you about doing, and you're going to revisit, and you're going to start again. Because when God gives you a dream, it comes with a shovel. And when the Lord, when you've done your part, then the Lord will do his part and fill with rainwater. This morning, I don't know where you're at. Maybe for you this is relatively new and you didn't realize that some of the things on your heart God wanted you to work on and give you a shovel. Or maybe you've been one that the shovel has just been set aside. You've gotten distracted. You've gotten involved in sin. Some sin that you think has made it impossible for you to be used by God. Don't let the devil tell you that lie. Because if you'll come back to him, he'll receive you and welcome you and begin to use you again. We need to pick up our shovels. Would you bow your heads as we pray and now prepare for communion? Oh God, Lord, I want to be used by you. We want to be used by you. Lord, we offer ourselves to you this morning. Once again, use us, Lord. Use us, Lord. Lord, for the one this morning that has seen that they have just not followed through on things that you have spoken to them to do as they pick their shovel up again, Lord, receive them and welcome them back. Father, you have things that you desire for all of us to do and things for us to do as a group, as a congregation, maybe as a family, maybe only as a group of several. But Lord, you have things that you desire to do. Lord, we're ready to be used by you. Lord, give us our shovels or give them back to us. We will not be inactive Christians. We will be those who work for you and avoid distractions. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you are not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.